Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you that you have brought us together again tonight. I praise you for your word that we get to study that deepens our knowledge of who you are and all that you've done for us. And I pray that as we remind ourselves of what you have taught us over the year, that you would once again cement these truths into our hearts, into our minds, help us to apply them and to continue to grow in them over the summer and for the rest of our lives. And we just thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence through your Son, and just pray that we will continue to be wise in how we approach your word and learn from it tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So tonight, while you all are eating, one thing that I did at the beginning of the semester was to review all the passages we went over in the fall semester. So I kind of want to do that again and just review all the passages we went over in this spring semester and the applications, and just remind ourselves of all the things that we've learned. And then I'll open the floor to all of the things that you guys have gone back over this week that have stuck out to you, your favorite passage or the favorite thing that you learned or something that hit you hard this year while we were studying prayer, whatever it may be. So but I'll do the speaking first to let you guys finish what's on your plates. So the first passage that we went over this spring semester was Ephesians 6. And we started out that chapter looking at the two of the three relationships that Paul was talking about in the church. And then, of course, we moved on to the whole armor of God and then the final greetings. And so while we were going through all of that, one of the application questions that I asked you came from the phrase in verse 18 where it says, praying at all times in the spirit with all prayer and supplication. And my question was, do you feel overwhelmed with the thought of praying at all times? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us have at some point in our lives gone, that's like, I can't pray at all times. And it almost felt like a burden to have this rule that we had to try to meet, some standard that we had to reach. And yet I think what stuck out to all of us was that this wasn't a burden. And this praying at all times was a privilege that we have access to the Father through Christ at all times, whenever we need his help, whenever we are struggling. It can be while we're washing dishes or in the midst of a discipline struggle with our children, or when we're on the phone with a difficult phone call or having a conversation with someone who needs Christ. Those are moments when we can just cry help. And we don't need to inform God of what we need because he already knows. But just a sincere cry for help is heard by our Heavenly Father. And so that, to me, was one of the things that I learned in that chapter, was it's not meant to be a burden. It's meant to be a freedom that we have someone to go to at all times, in all situations. He is there ready to listen. And he knows what we need. And so us just coming to him, he is ready to hear. The second application, or the second question that I asked was, are your prayers focused on the strengthening of the saints and the preaching of the gospel? Because as we go through Ephesians 6, the armor of God was meant to strengthen the saints against the fiery darts of the devil, and to withstand the lies and the schemes of the devil. And it was meant for strength for the believers. But then towards the end of that section, Paul asked for prayer himself, and what he asks for is that he would have boldness in speaking the mystery of the gospel. And so from that passage, we realize that two of the things that we should be focused on in prayer is the strengthening of the saints and the preaching of the gospel for those that are not saved out to the dying world. And then the third question kind of went back to that idea of feeling overwhelmed, but more, have you ever felt guilty because you're not in the word enough or not praying enough? And the idea of the whole armor of God, that mental attitude that we put on, those truths that we remind ourselves every day as we're going through this life, should help us with that. Because when we feel guilty, oh, I haven't been praying enough, and then I'm sorry, and you know, Lord, I haven't been in prayer enough. The things that we should be reminding ourselves is that we're supposed to put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. And that should remind us that we do have peace with God, that we are no longer under his condemnation. So he's not looking at us with condemnation because we didn't pray enough yesterday. We have peace with him. And then the second thing is the shield of faith, trusting that we have been given mercy and grace in Christ. And so we no longer face his wrath. And so these are things that we can put on, the mindset we can put on in order to get back up and persevere in these disciplines, in the study of the word, in prayer, without that overwhelming feeling of guilt that, you know what? When we come back to him to pray, he's there for us because we have peace with him, because we can trust in his mercy and grace. So from Ephesians 6, we then jumped into Ephesians 1. So we went back a couple chapters and we looked at verses 3 through 14, which was just theology. And it was the web of Trinitarian language that we had to kind of pull the strings out and see which person and what role. But it was full of doctrine and full of truths. And so I ended our lesson that week with saying, are your prayers focused on God or man? Because Paul is definitely very God-focused, not only in that whole entire passage in verses 3 through 14, but also when he goes into prayer. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That is not a man-centered prayer. That is completely focused on us knowing him more, on us focusing on who he is. And so we should really stop and question, am I focused more on people and individuals, on their temporary circumstances, or are my prayers focused on God and what he wills and what he desires and who he is and what he's done for us? Because, and not just Paul's, I mean, we've looked at it since then, David's, Moses's prayers, all of them are focused on God. And if we have an issue with, okay, well, how do I focus on God? The verses 3 through 14 in Ephesians 1 helps to center our mind with its theology and its doctrine, helps us to center on God. The second question I asked in Ephesians 1 is, are you praying Trinitarian? And taking those verses and writing out the role of each of the persons of the Trinity, and then reminding ourselves and saying, thank you, God the Father, for this. And thank you, Christ, for what you've done. And thank you for the Holy Spirit and how he works in my life. And remembering to pray Trinitarian helps us to keep those doctrines. I mean, he's revealed that to us for a reason. That's part of his further revelation. The Israel of the New Testament or the Old Testament did not have that idea of the Trinity. It was there. And we can look back and see it now that we have the New Testament to help us. But the idea was not fully revealed yet, but it is to us. So we should take that Trinitarian idea and we should use it, especially in our prayers, and use that Trinitarian language. So then I asked, do you focus your prayers on the greatest needs we have and the greatest needs of those you pray for? Because when Paul prays for the Ephesians, he understands their greatest need is to know God more and to be in a deeper relationship through knowing him more. And so that's what we should be praying for each other as we are praying and lifting up our sisters. We should be praying for ourselves and others that we know him more. And then the last thing that I asked was, are you letting truth dictate your emotions and attitude in prayer? And the reason why I asked that is because Paul kind of dropped a truth bomb on the Ephesians church right off the gate. This massive verses of all that God has done for us and how he's predestined us and made us to be holy and blameless. And he's redeemed us through his son. He's forgiven our trespasses and on it goes. Well, there's a reason for it. He dropped that truth because then he wants us to respond correctly. That's completely opposed to the way the world works. The world responds with emotion first. And truth is as far from their mind or their desires as possible, but that's not the way it should be for us. Before we emote, we should first look at the truth. And that way, our emotions are then guided by the truth rather than the other way around. And if we find that our emotions are not in line with the truth, we need to fix them. We need to change them, or at least come to the Lord and ask him to fix them and change them. Because as Christians, our emotions need to be guided with the truth. And when they are, it gives us a thankful and worshipful heart in our prayers to know all that he has done for us and all that he is. Then we went to Philippians 1 to see Paul's prayer to the Philippian church. And he spoke more about truth, but he asked on their behalf, let me find it. He says in verse 9 of Philippians 1, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment." So what he prayed on behalf of the Philippian church was that their love would be based on truth, which is slightly different from emotions, because love is not so much emotion as actions and desiring good for those that are around us. But is our love based on truth? And the problem that I talked about when we went over Philippians 1 is that it's so hard to see truth in the world around us that we often get fuddled, even as Christians, with what is truly loving and what's not. And I came up with a couple examples. And the first one was, is it loving to discipline our kids? Because discipline to the world is a very dirty word. I remember a couple years ago, I was reading an article about, you know, as parents, we should, as Christian parents, we should be demanding obedience from our children. And the comments under this article was, obedience, what, are they dogs? And it took me back, like, we shouldn't expect obedience from our children? Like, that's a good thing. It's not to the world. The world has totally turned our family unit upside down and put the children as head, and it's not loving. It's not loving to those children. It's not loving to our spouse. It's not loving to God. The truth of the matter is, discipline and training our children to do what is right, to see what is right in God's word, is loving. The world would tell us the exact opposite. I then asked, is it loving to speak truth over someone's identity? Because in the world, no, that's their truth. Well, but it's not God's truth. God's truth is what he made them to be. And therefore, it's not loving to lie. And so when we love, it should be in truth. It should be in discernment. It should be with, okay, when I love someone, I'm going to speak truth to them. So that means I'm going to show them their sin. I'm going to show them the gospel of Christ that is there to take away their sin. But what's loving is truth. And so we need to make sure that we are loving through truth. And then the last thing I kind of asked in the reverse way, but I said, is it loving to fill ourselves up and avoid our responsibility to others? Because this is what the world teaches, is that you can't pour from an empty cup. So first go fill up yourself, then you can serve others. And that's the exact opposite of what scripture says, because we're not pouring from ourselves, we're pouring from an infinite source of Christ. And so, you know, it's wonderful. And I know Pastor Mark says we're not supposed to be using personal antidotes, but I don't know what other antidotes, because all I know is myself. Mm-hmm. So a couple weeks ago, I was feeling very overwhelmed. And I've talked to some of the mothers around here about this, with school. And we were sick at the time, and it seemed like sick for forever. And Tim's family was in town. And so we were like tag teaming with the children that were well, went with the spouse that was well at the time to go visit with the family while the other one stayed home. And we were going back and forth constantly. And I just told myself, on Saturday, they'll leave and everything will get back to normal. And on Thursday, Tim told me, my dad is going to come stay with us for a couple days on Saturday. And I'm like, the house is a wreck and no one feels good. So by Friday, I had a mini meltdown. Okay, it was a major meltdown. Tim called me. And I'm in the middle of struggling with trying to get children who don't feel well to clean up the room that their grandfather's staying in. And he calls me and I just lose it. And he said, look, you know, we have an obligation to go and see our family. But my first obligation is to make sure my wife is not feeling overwhelmed and being driven crazy. Mm-hmm. And that one phrase, I mean, just was all I needed to hear, that my husband had my back, that he was ready to shepherd where I needed to be shepherded. And so I got off the phone feeling much better. But it's wonderful to have a husband that will look at his wife who's about to freak out and say, hey, I got the kids, go get a coffee. You know, that's wonderful. But for us to demand that, as if our needs come first before theirs, is something the world tells us to do, but it's not loving. And that's an absolute lie from the pit of hell. When we are pushed to our max, God is there and He will meet our needs, even if no one around us does, He does. And that's where we gain our love from to then share with others. And so, yes, some days we are empty, but He never is. And so we need to stop listening to what the world says about love and what is loving and start listening to truth. And we need to love based on the truth of God's word because He is love. So He knows what love looks like. The second thing I asked in Philippians 1 was, what are you approving as excellent? Because Paul prays for them that they may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless. And so the follow-up question is, will whatever you're approving as excellent make you pure and blameless? And I know we all have those things that we do well. And sometimes, because we do well, we focus on those things, and it can sometimes be a pride issue rather than something that makes us pure and blameless. So we're approving something as I did really excellent in that, but it's not leading us to purity and blamelessness because it's actually making us prideful. And so we need to make sure that we are approving those things that are excellent, that humble us, that stretch us, that help us to serve, that put our minds on God rather than ourselves, or on others rather than ourselves, rather than approving just what we're good at and what we can pat ourselves on the back for. And then the last question that I asked for Philippians 1 was, are you praying for yourself and others to be filled with righteousness, not to earn favor with God, but to glorify and honor Him? Because Christ has earned favor on our behalf. He has already done that. He has already fulfilled the righteous standard that needed to be filled. So our righteousness is not to please Him somehow or to earn His favor somehow or to make us in good standing with Him or even to keep us where Christ put us. Instead, it's just because of what He's done for us. We're thankful. We're loving Him through what we do, through that righteousness. We are honoring Him through that righteousness. And so is that a priority in our prayers? That we are filled with righteousness. Then we flip to the Old Testament where we began with Psalm 143 and we began to see David's heart as he prayed. And he prays to Yahweh. That's where he begins his prayer. He says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord." And it's in all caps and it means Yahweh, the self-sufficient, self-existent, eternal, unchanging one. And often, especially when we're in that mindset of I need to pray at all times, and we feel overwhelmed when we can't, or we feel guilty when we don't, we can often think we're doing God a favor. Okay, I'm supposed to pray, so let me take 5 minutes and pray real quick. He doesn't need anything from us. The relationship He's provided and given to us is utterly because we are in need of it. And so to think that we are offering Him something when we pray is kind of ridiculous because He needs nothing from us. And He does not delight in burnt offerings. What He delights is in a heart that wants to draw near to Him, that wants to obey Him because we love Him and we're thankful for what He's done for us. And so if we even think that we're even doing God a slight favor, and the world does think this way. I don't know how many times I've been watching, especially a show from the 90s. The 90s were great at this. I don't know, where someone would look up and say, "Hey, big guy," whatever. And they acted like they were doing a favor, where if you do this for me, I'll go to church or I'll do this. We don't give Him anything because He is self-existent and self-sufficient. Our relationship is entirely because we are the ones in need. And so we should view it as that when we pray. And then the second thing, do you inform your prayers with an understanding of who God is and who you are? And I realize going back through this, yes, I asked this question a lot because the Psalms were full of the attributes and works of God. And I even put underneath that question, a right thinking of God leads to a right thinking of us, which then leads to a right attitude before Him, one of humility, one of thankfulness, one of dependency, and one of faith. But you can't help but look at the psalmist prayers and think they knew God. And yet we have so much more revelation of who He is and what He's done for us. We should know Him better. We talked about that last week. We should almost know Him better. And yet, I don't think I could pray like this on my own. That's what we're all striving for. And so, to continue in that sanctification of knowing who God is and studying His word to know Him better, so that in our prayers, our prayers can sing his praises and worship him as he ought to be worshiped. And then the third question, do you pray for your soul and spirit ahead of your body and temporary circumstances? And I think that's something that we saw throughout almost every single passage, that the priority of prayer is not what we may have grown up thinking it to be. Often we get the idea prayer is for the things that we want. I saw something that actually, it made me really sad. I was looking for gifts online, and I did. I looked up prayer boxes because someone had given me one that had like some pre-done prayers that we could go through, or on the flip side, empty things so you could put in your own prayer requests. And so I was looking those up, and I saw someone who commented and said, my Christian friend told me about this prayer box where you write down your prayer request, put it in there, and hold it up while you're praying, and it shows God that you really want this thing. And I want to know if that's right. I could have cried right then and there to think that that is anyone's mentality of prayer, and yet I'm afraid it very much has become what prayer is all about. And I can remember growing up hearing phrases like push and pray is push, pray until something happens. And all of these phrases that we used to use that were all about temporary circumstances. But if you look at prayer in scripture, I think something that we have really come to know is prayer is all about the will of God, the spiritual needs of the saints, the gospel going out, his kingdom come. It's about far more than this temporary circumstances. And even while we're going through temporary circumstances, to focus on the spiritual aspects and what God can be teaching us through it. Because if God is using a painful circumstance to make us more into the image of Christ, why would we ask for that to be taken away before we're made into the image of Christ? Instead, we should be asking for his work through it. And that's what we should be focused on. And then in Psalm 51, the prayer of repentance, I again asked, do your prayers show a right understanding of God, and do they continue to grow with our sanctification as we learn his attributes, our state, our salvation, and his work in all of it? Are our prayers growing as we're worshiping him through them? And then the second one, do your repentant prayers show true repentance? And we looked at David's heart of repentance in Psalm 51 compared to Saul's heart of not repentance, and how David was more concerned with being in a right state before God, where Saul just wanted his consequences gone. And making sure that when we come before him, that we are truly repentant, not just wanting our circumstances gone. Or, and the third question, do we sorrow in a godly way? Because sometimes we can start to spiral into the guilt. So on one way, we just want our circumstances gone. It's all about how we're feeling at the moment. It feels bad. Take us away. And on the other side, it's I feel guilty, and I'm a wretched person, and it starts to spiral down. And guess what? On either side, our eyes are still on us. Rather than godly sorrow, which we mourn over our sin, but then we turn our eyes to the Savior who takes that sin away. And we rejoice in him, and we praise him for the fact that he does forgive us. So godly sorrow will always end in praise and rejoicing. Worldly sorrow spirals down. And then, of course, last week, Psalm 90, Moses talked about numbering our days. Are we understanding our days are fleeting? And why? Because we are sinners. And that is why death has come into the world. And do we know that our days only have purpose when they are in and through him? When he establishes the works of our hands, that is the only time when they have purpose. Otherwise, they're just dirty rags. So, do we number our days was the first question. Second question is, are we continuing to grow in our understanding of his attributes and nature in order to worship him better in our prayers? And yes, I asked that a third time, but really it didn't hit me until Psalm 90. As much as I asked that same question, at Psalm 90, I really began to look back and go, they didn't just have a section of their prayers that were devoted to praise. And we do compartmentalize our prayers a lot. I mean, I know of teachers that have taught my children to do it. I tend to do it just to make sure that I'm on track. But we kind of compartmentalize our adoration to the beginning part. But these psalmists, they praise God throughout. When they ask God for mercy, which is a supplication, they ask it based on the fact that he is a merciful God of steadfast love. They continue to praise and adore him all throughout, which it struck me as I was going through this. No wonder they were able to pray so boldly, because it was prayed in the attributes of God. So when you're going, Lord, have mercy on me because you're a merciful God, then you can know, and I know you'll show me mercy because you're a merciful God and you don't change. To pray in the attributes of God and to constantly put those attributes in our prayers really does give us boldness, because we can ask these things because of who he is. And then the second, or the that would be the third question. And I tried this, I did, and I realized something about myself. So I asked, do you realize the value of corporate prayer in church? Do you focus on what is being prayed for you or for on, all right. Do you focus on what is being prayed for on your behalf and allow it to lift your spiritual eyes upward to God's greatness? And I encourage you to try that this Sunday when Pastor Mark was preaching. And I realized, as I used the example yesterday, that Annabelle was distracting me because she wanted to turn in her Bible. It's not Annabelle. She wasn't even sitting with me yesterday. She was with Wanda and probably being a perfect little saint. But I'm
She
sitting there.
was.
Of course, she was for Wanda. But I'm sitting there next to Liam, and he's my Wanda. He's probably staring at Pastor Mark, thinking of what show he watched last, but he's staring perfectly still at Pastor Mark. He's my good one that I really never have to worry about. And I'm trying to focus on what Pastor Mark is saying. And after 5 seconds, I'm like, did I order enough pizzas for the meeting? I don't know. Focus, focus, take my eyes, put them on the spiritual. Did I go over my notes enough? I don't know if I went over my notes enough. I do not focus as I should. But I'm thankful for what we learned through the corporate prayer of Moses. I'm thankful that we learned that, yes, corporate prayer does take our eyes off of our personal thoughts, because it was a constant reminder through that prayer. Take your eyes off of that circumstance, that'll wait. Put them back on. And I know I'll probably have to do this every Sunday, reminding myself, stop thinking that way. Focus on what's being prayed. But these disciplines that God has given to us, they are simply that. They are disciplines. And what we have studied this year is about the discipline of prayer. And we've studied about this much of what the scripture has to say about prayer. And yet I think we've learned a lot. And it's something that we are just going to have to keep disciplining ourselves, because it draws us closer to God. It makes us more into the image of his son. It puts us more in line with what he wills. And it works both in us, the Holy Spirit uses it to work in us and those that we are praying for. And so I encourage you, even though this is the last week, and we're not going to be speaking on prayer again together, keep working on that discipline. Keep focusing on the things that God has taught you in prayer. Keep studying prayers here and there. Pick out a psalm that's a prayer and study it, and remind yourself over and over again, because this is so important. He gave it to us for a reason, and it is a privilege to come before the holy God through his son. So that is all I have planned. The next 20 minutes is up to you. But I am curious, as you guys went back this week and looked at your notes in the study that you did personally, what were some of the things that you noticed that stuck out to you?
I really thought about service Sunday, like when the preacher started praying, I thought about it. And then I realized you do that in your own prayers too, that your mind starts.
Yeah.
Focus.
You want to pray, and then your mind is doing a
fighting you.
menu or
Yes.
whatever.
Yes. But it is worth it.
I have enjoyed this so much. Thank you, my neighbors, for inviting me. I wish I'd have been in on the beginning.
Well, we are thankful that you came because, I mean, I appreciate all of you ladies. But you are right. I mean, it is a constant discipline.
I'm just glad I'm not the only one.
I feel comforted. I'm amazed Pastor Mark's mind doesn't wander while he's up there praying.
I wish his prayer was recorded.
He does record it, but then you have to listen to a sermon afterwards. Are you ready to commit another?
I listen to sermons all the time.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't start at the whole thing.
It's just a sermon.
I just wish I had this memory.
Yeah. For that.
When we listen to yours,
so it's the prayer.
It's the prayer.
Maybe we can make that
request.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd sing with all of us singing if I wasn't do it again.
I think one of the things that stuck out for me is what you mentioned about the boldness. These, you know, people are coming to God with, like, there's this remind. Obviously, God doesn't need reminding, but in a way, it's like this. This is who you are, God. So in light of that, do this, you know, I'm asking for this thing. And I think that's it's a really interesting aspect of prayer I really hadn't thought about before, where it's like, there is this, like, no, God, this is who you are. So in light of that, like, I am asking for you these things you have promised. And mm-hmm. So, and I think that's a really, it's such a faithful way to pray. I thought, I don't know. I learned that. I like that.
I agree. And it's also to keep us in check, because if we're praying for something, we can't say, because you are this.
Yeah.
It's probably not the thing we should be praying for. No, I doubt that. It took me 3 passages of study to, oh, he does that all the way throughout. They all do. But yeah, that struck me.
I am so grateful to be here. And I'm learning a lot. And all the attributes of God, and how to pray, and how to study. Grateful that you're teaching us.
Well, I'm grateful you continue to let me, because it is a privilege to be here with you ladies.
But that's one thing that I was doing it, but not. I think now I'm doing more intentionally. It is. When I'm praying, just praise Him. And it's because we need to be reminded how great it all is that for us to stay humble. Mm-hmm. Now we just start to give this, and that, da 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 da. So, that's probably the most fun activity. But you have to have the intentionality of just practicing. And I don't know, for me, praying, I miss. Not only when there's a day that I don't pray, I miss it. It's almost like if I don't talk to Jose one day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's I try to do it, you know, informally, you know, like cooking when I'm driving, you know. So it's not as a checkbox, it's
exactly.
Just a need. And it's mm-hmm. Just like talking to someone you love. You want to just talk.
Exactly.
Which is such a great privilege that you have.
Yeah, right. Well, I just to piggyback on what you just said, maybe think of, I think I shared with you. We were in Quebec several years ago with some friends who are unbelieving. We went into this large cathedral called St. Anne's, and it infuriated me. I heard him telling my friend, his wife, you know, what she said, why are these cathedrals so grand? And, you know, they're just beautiful, right? All of the artwork. And he said, because they try to make you feel so small. They want you to feel small. And I'm sitting there. I mean, it was like, and then Wade happened to walk. And it was a good thing because I don't know what counts. But it really infuriated me. It did. But when I think about what you just said, right, for us, we rejoice and how big our God is and yes. who he is. And it is, and that's what I was going to say, but really Kelsey wanted to say it, that, you know, I do the adoration first. I learned that years ago, right? And but I've just been reminded, like, it's important to know the scriptures, what really those detailed attributes are. I can say he's creator all day long.
Yes.
But what is he creator of? And when you say the mountains and the wind and the thing, you know, it really does heighten and remind you who he is mm-hmm. and really who we are, but how we rejoice in who he is.
Yeah.
And we're thankful that we're able to come to him at any time. And that's the thing I find, particularly in recent weeks, just some boldness. Yeah. And the Lord has just put me in them. And it, but you know, I'm so thankful, always thankful in those moments. Lord, please help me not say one word I don't need to say and say every word I need to say.
With nine, like not 10 ladies, and I said, "Oh goodness, get me out of here quick!" Praise God, he did. Yeah. But the church I used to go, it was different, and I was so bad. Telling you, gotta repent, you gotta do this, you gotta. And from here, I learned so much different. Mm-hmm. But that's what I always say, Lord, please help me to do your will and not mine. Mm-hmm. Come for me, home, you know? So I do pray. Much better, though. I have to love them. Because, you know, God loves me. So I got to show them love, too.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful that God brought us here. Much better. Understand it.
So Savannah, I'm curious, like, you being the younger one here. Like, how does this translate to you? Like, when you hear us talk about what we're still learning, right, and how God's still teaching us, and we're much older than you. Not everybody, but some of us are much older than us.
Most of us.
A good number.
What's your take on it? Does it encourage you?
It does, that, like, I'm not, like, the only one still learning here, that there are still others who, it makes me feel encouraged that I'm not, like, I'm not alone.
We're going into it. We are. We're alone. We never stop long.
Because a lot of y'all are, like, full of wisdom on this, and yet y'all are still learning. But, like, I have people that I can speak out if I need to. Like my own mom.
She comes over and over again every day seeking your wisdom, doesn't she? All day long.
I bet I was thinking, we're talking about like what we, you know, like I know my strengths. And we had this prime example yesterday. Maybe you don't know. We had a water leak that took out a third of our beach house in November. And so it's just all been put back together last week. And so some of my grandchildren came down, 8 and 16 yesterday, to help just pot the plants and all that stuff that, you know, we can't bend. So anyway, I said to them, okay, they know my strengths, right? She's a good planner. I'll tell you that right up front.
We all know.
There was all these sheets that came out of the cabinet and they just were thrown to start first through everything. And so I said, this is where I fail you. This is where your grandmother fails you. I still cannot fold a finished sheet. And so I got the YouTube out, I still couldn't do it. I never cut the contact paper just right in the drawer, and I'm OCD at drugs. So yesterday you're laughing, right? Because I'm like, and I'm not good with drapes. So I said, this is where I failed you as your grandmother. You know, and so but you do think about that, right? Like, but there was such good conversation that came from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so where we try, you know, with yes. your moms, you try to be the best mothers you can be that God allows her to serve you, teach you well and deliver. You know, it is a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like all your children. And yet God allows those opportunities. We had some serious conversations about, I explained to my 8-year-old grandson, you know, you are important and you are loved. But you know your parents love your brother and your sister equally. And you are a part of the family. It's not all about you. And he very seriously, you know, a little disappointed nonetheless. And I think the Lord teaches that too, you know, why he encourages fellowship with all of us and how we can encourage one another and how we, but we're a part of, right? It's just not all about us and our own homes and our families and even our body of church. It's not just about this one or that one. We're all a small part, have the opportunity to be a small part of.
Exactly. I do this and then fold it under so it looks nice, but no one better pick that up. Because I'm just
off the bench,
and
wash it, and then put it back
on the bed and never have to deal with it. Wisdom right there.
I'm running much more.
They're right.
Well, I think sometimes we think we're the better example when we are perfect. And I think God teaches those around us a whole lot better when we admit we're not. We're trusting in God every single day, every single moment. Because there have been many opportunities where I thought I am failing as a mom. And when I go in and I apologize for what I've done, my children will come to me weeping with the same exact reaction. Whereas if I had, no, I'm the mom, I'm the parent, you know, it would have been a much different outcome. But God uses our weaknesses. Okay, so I'm curious. The next thing that I asked you to do last week was to think about what you're going to be doing this summer. I really wish I could do a Bible study in the summer. There's just no way with Back Your Bible Club and vacations and everything. And I'm not sure half of you would be here every week anyway with vacations happening. But have you come up with some ideas for the summer of what you're thinking to study and look into? Go ahead.
For me, we started young.
It's teaching them young, so she did everything. That is a great book. I love John.
I love you too.
I'm going to do romance.
Ooh. It is a good one. It is an excellent book.
Can you repeat what book that was? Sorry, I just didn't hear.
Alana said she's going to study Romans.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That's what we're all saying.
I've missed most of the 1689 confession. So I'm trying to go through, like, start from the beginning and go through all the scriptures that are in there.
That's awesome.
Listen to his sermons on that, because I've missed a lot of it. We didn't come in until October, so. And I think he's been doing it since January of 23. So
that long? Wow. Doesn't seem like that long.
Yeah, it is.
That's a great idea.
I was given a ESV scripture journal study. And so it's on wisdom. So it's got like just like a brief, you know, little introduction to each topic and goes through for a week. And so I'm excited to try that. And I also did
want to pass it around.
I wanted to extend an invitation if anyone is looking for some accountability over the summer, maybe creating some sort of like small, informal, just chat about the different things that we're doing and get out of the house and maybe have coffee or something. So if anyone is interested, just let me know. I'll figure that out.
I've already been kind of looking at Philippians before I knew Pastor Mark was going to preach on I like being verified. And what
exactly. Study it ahead of him and go, yes, I was right.
Yes,
I was way off. I love learn Philippines.
A lot, though. I feel like you learn so when it's like you're doing it and then you hear somebody else talk about it. It's almost exponential what you know.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what I try to do with Laura. I was very, very far away. I gotta go check it out. Yeah, I like how you have each verse by verse in here. You get a much better understanding.
All right, we have just a couple minutes. So next fall, I do not know when we'll be starting. I think of that over the summer and I plan that out. But I am planning on doing another full year. So we'll take this fall and spring to study Exodus. So we did Genesis and we'll do the second half. I feel like you left off in the middle of a story. And I wanted to do prayer, but we're going to go back and do Exodus. So, and all we'll need for that, and I'll make sure that we put the link up and stuff for when it gets closer. But it is, I think it's the ESV journal for the book of Exodus is what we use. So. All right, well, we can pray. And ladies, you are a blessing each week. And I am going to miss you over the summer. But I'm thankful for every single one of you. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise you because you are a God that is good and gracious. Gracious in how you have created the church because you knew us and you knew how you made us. And I just thank you for the needs that are met through the church and how you work through those in the church to encourage us and to uplift us and help us to humble ourselves, to serve those that are around us. And Lord, the church is a beautiful body. And I just praise your omniscience in knowing how much we needed it. I praise your power in bringing us together. And I praise your son for making it possible in him. And I just thank you that we can come together as women to study your word. And I thank you for the spirit and how he works to open our eyes. I thank you for his power to give us the truth of your word and to show us what it means and what you would have us to do. And I thank you for the opportunity that we get to have. I pray that you would continue to encourage us to be in your word, studying who you are and all that you've done for us and how you would have us to worship and honor you rightly. And I pray that you'd help us to do that throughout the summer, that if we need to, that we would hold each other accountable, that we'd send those texts and have those meetings over coffee to remind each other how important this is. And I pray that you would continue to grow us in prayer, grow us in this discipline, that we would see this as the privilege that it is to come before our Heavenly Father into his very presence and to sit at his feet and ask, based on who you are, for the things that you are already working in us. And so I pray that you would strengthen us in this discipline of prayer. And I thank you for the study that you've given and all that you've shown us about prayer. Help us to continue to bring our minds constantly to you and who you are and to take our eyes off of ourselves through prayer. And I pray that you would, again, be with these ladies as they go out and just use us as you see fit to serve and honor you throughout our weeks, throughout our summer. And I pray this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.